Good evening, anarchists everywhere, and welcome to Anarchism in the UK with me, Ian Bohm. Today's guest is singer, musician, composer, relentless gigger, and all-round top geezer, Rob Johnson. Welcome, Rob.
Thank you very much.
Rob, let's go straight into the deep end. What got you interested in politics in the first place?
I suppose it was probably my dad, and that led on. He'd always given me a leftist kind of background and some sort of understanding of life as being a bit more important than just what you fed. And then I was at Sussex University just at the very tail end of student activity, so there's lots of politics in the air. And then I remember reading in the NME about the Pinochet coup in Chile and being outraged that the sort of thing that I thought I could finish with the Gestapo was still happening. And so that theoretical radical background was formalised a bit at Sussex University. I had a really good tutor at Sussex University, a bloke called Edvard Goldstucker, who had been Dubček's private secretary. And he was just superb, an undefeated socialist.
And what Sussex University had a great reputation in the late 60s for a hotbed of radicalism, in particular Maoism, I seem to recall. Was that still, or do you catch the tail end of that?
It was just vaguely radical. When I was there, the union president was a bloke called Kit, who used to wear a black leather miniskirt and fishnet stockings.
And that was a bloke, so, I take
it. Yeah. So it was moving into sort of other forms of radicalism other than strict Maoism.
Yes, an interesting idiosyncratic understanding of the works of the Little Red Book there.
And then I suppose when all my mates who hadn't gone to university, all used to, when I was playing in bands and come out to play them, they used to sneer and go, "Yeah, when you come back into the real world, Rob, all this politics will go out the window." But when I found out, actually, when I got back into the real world and got a job, I found that it made more sense than ever, because there were real people whose lives were clearly being buggered up by the political system and the way things were. And we had that. We always thought perhaps we could make things better. And then Mrs. Thatcher came along, and that sort of confirmed that politics were quite important.
Yeah,
she made it important.
Did you get into music? Start off at Sussex University as well. Was that before? Or
no,
how did
that start? I'd always wanted to be a writer, apparently.
And what it says here.
Yeah. And at an important crossroads in my life, I looked at the opportunities for being a writer, and although I dearly love poetry, I thought most poets were upper class arseholes and never actually got a chance to talk to anybody. But I thought if you played a guitar, you could talk to all sorts of people. You could take your writing to pubs, to anybody really. I sort of had this idea that if Dickens, when he was alive, he found the novel the most vibrant creative form, and Shakespeare wrote for the theatre. I reckoned if they had been alive in the 70s, they'd have picked up a guitar and wrote rock and roll.
Yeah, and when was the first time you actually sort of went public and played and had the bottle to do that?
I had some fairly disastrous gigs in my late teens in Hounslow, which are probably best forgotten about.
Anyone out there remembers those Hounslow gigs?
Please, don't say a word. And then I went, I had this band that kept, when I went to university, still came back, we played gigs here, there, and not particularly everywhere. But by that time, I'd also discovered early punk, in that I was deeply in love with Iggy Pop and the MC5. And so I wanted the band to be like Iggy Pop or the MC5, or at the very least the Velvet Underground.
Noble ambition.
Yeah, we had two other guitarists in the band, one of whom was deeply in love with Led Zeppelin and wanted us to play Stairway to Heaven all the time. The other one was a guy who was in love with Genesis, so he just whittled away on an endless tape loop all the time. And there was me thrashing rhythm till my fingers bled, insisting that we did Waiting for the Man. And audiences were, not surprisingly, deeply unenamoured of this and used to bellow, "Play rock and roll," which I refused to do.
I think it's totally wonderful that Rob Johnson was influenced by MC5. I didn't have that on my list of possible influences. And how did you manage to sort of marry politics with music? Was the rest of the band who wanted to play Genesis and Led Zeppelin, when they enthused about?
No, they weren't. No, they weren't at all. And I have to say, before most of my writing then was just bollocks, really. And I only started introducing don't know, the real world or a political dimension to what I wrote towards the end of the 70s. One, funnily enough, when everybody else discovered punk, I then discovered the delights of folk and jazz, and I thought that was... I found there was a very healthy kind of tradition of political comment and writing about things other than your trousers in folk music. So I suppose that's when I started writing about wider issues with an acoustic guitar rather than an electric guitar. So that kind of bubbled along until 84, 85, when in the wake of the, at the time, at the tail end of the fag end of the miners' strike, I started writing very overtly political songs, obviously kind of agitproppy songs, because it seemed important to take sides.
And going back a bit, wasn't there some truth that you used to go and heckle folk singers, or you had some sort of...
Yeah, I mean, the Ministry of Humour used to do terror raids. We used to go to all those lovely folk clubs where people sang wailing songs and hunting songs, and awful as I roved out one morning, I shagged a maid in May songs. And if that sort of...
I know, I'm familiar with that one, I think.
That sort of nonsense. We'd stand up and heckle, go, "Sexist crap!" or "Free the whale!" or something like that. And it just enlivened
things. Some of these geezers with roll-neck sweaters on, they're big, burly geezers. Didn't they sort of drag you out and pummel you to death?
No, they're all very polite in folks. They didn't, no. They're all very polite. I mean, we in some respects, had soft targets in that no one hit us. But they didn't book as much either. So the career lingered in obscurity for another year or so.
Do you think music can have an effect on politics? Does it just reflect what's going on, or can it sort of change people and move them to action, do you think?
Yes, I think it does. I mean, my friend Leon Rosselson is adamant that music, like poetry, makes nothing happen and it can only maybe soundtrack. But I think that, just me personally, hearing music has inspired and excited me all my life and moved my thinking along in various ways. And I think throughout, if you look at what music has done, even if it's just out of punk, I mean, punk made lots of people do lots of different things. Mm. And folk music, all that kind of... I know that there's a tendency now to look back on it and go, oh, well, it was just... But that Greenwich Village protest thing was quite good at empowering people and spreading... I think what music can do is also spread alternative perspectives, give another voice into the debate. And I think that's useful. I'm not naive enough to suggest that if you write a song, it's going to bring anything about or bring anything down. But it spreads ideas around and it creates a voice that adds to a chorus for change adds for a chorus for something else.
Well, I guess the Chilean hunter thought Victor Jara was a big enough threat to imprison him. OK, you've got a new album, Matt. Yep. Can you just tell us about the new CD and then choose a track to play for us?
OK, this is called Love and Death and Politics. We were hunting around for a title and that's seemed the best one, really, because that's usually what I write about. And it's got a band which is extremely noisy and a lot of fun to be with. The track that we've chosen is one that people tend to take a lot of notice of because it probably has the politics end of the equation uppermost. And it does that awful thing of mentioning the war, which we're not supposed to do since 2003. 2 million people walk around London and say we don't like the war, but it happens and then we don't mention it anymore. It contrasts the career of the royal person, Prince Harry, who seems to love it, with the career of Private Gentle, who was a teenage volunteer from Scotland, who didn't come back from Iraq, largely because the MOD couldn't be asked to give him the proper equipment, so he got killed.
Right, so here it is.
The prince flies home. Isn't he the hero? Calling in the airstrikes, shooting at some people whose land this used to be once, before our boys went over and made it democratic, just like west of Dover, where governments get elected, your choice of public schoolboy who send you off to die with old lies dressed up as new. The prince lies home. The prince flies home. The prince flies home. The prince flies home. But Private Gentle doesn't. So fuck you, Mr. Shakespeare, and fuck you, Mr. Murdoch, crying God for Harry and all that old John Bull. From the safety of your armchairs, sending other people's children into battle unprotected with old lies dressed up as news. The prince flies home. The prince flies home. The prince flies home. The prince flies home. But Private Gentle doesn't. Does he?
I think I know the answer, but why do you think your stuff never gets mentioned and reviewed anywhere? Although this album had a review in The Guardian, which was good. But generally, this kind of music's totally ignored by the mainstream press.
Yes, I think it's because it doesn't do things. It doesn't... I can be quite confrontational. I think one of the reasons that I'm kind of infamous is that I've written about things when they happen, which is what I thought folk music was supposed to do, rather than wait 100 years for it to be a safe topic. Like, you get loads of folk artists singing about how terrible the First World War was now, because you can accept that as a terrible thing. You know? but to sing about a war now and take a stand on that is somewhat more controversial. So I think, and I think that's one of the reasons, actually, that does folk music change anything? Yes, or does music change anything? Yes, it does. That's why they shut it out, isn't it? And that's why they're very happy. The media are very happy to promote all manner of crap, whether it's X Factor to I don't know, like some of the more populist rap stuff, because it doesn't actually do anything other than support consumerism. However bad some of the gangster stuff is, it's all about consumerism and it's all about having a nice posh lifestyle. And so that's great, because that just keeps the wheels turning. But stuff what I do doesn't fit into that. I'm it's my own record label. I do what I want, and I don't have lots of money to throw at it. So, and it's never deemed sexy unless it's sanctioned by the great and the good of folk music, which I'm not sanctioned by the great and the good of folk music, because I don't sing about things that happened 200 years ago. I don't sing about it nicely. And I don't have lots of money to throw at it, because that's something else I've found. If you can throw lots of money at something, it will attract media attention, or it has to have more chance of attracting media attention. But I do think this, that... Because the only time I got allowed onto the Andy Kershaw... Well, that's funny. At the Andy Kershaw Wireless Programme.
Right. Where is he now?
Yes. This is his punishment. He's not. He said, "Rob, protest music." People say, "I keep saying, where is the protest music?" People keep saying, "You want to get that Rob Johnston?" And so they did, and I sang this song, and they censored it. They cut a verse out. They actually cut a verse out. But he was going, "You know, why don't we hear?" And I was saying, "Well, look, stop the War Coalition and produce two CDs of top quality, diverse music from rap to folk." Opposing the war, and no one reviews it. Everybody goes, because it's not considered sexy. It's like it's a polite kind of censorship. And then politely they censored one of my verses of my song about Ben or Pinochet kicking the bucket, because it was Christmas. They thought it might be offensive.
It's interesting. In generally, besides music, I think there's a retreat into radical history by lots of people, which is a substitute for anything going on now. I mean, it's fine to acknowledge radical history, but to make it the centre of your activity is just a sort of substitution for not a lot happening now. That said, I saw you do a really good thing with Leon Russellson about Tom Paine. Are you still doing that?
We want to do it next year because it's a bicentenary or something. Leon knows all this. I just turn up and play three chords. But Leon's trying to fix up lots of gigs. And the nice thing is that Leon's got a narrative that quotes from Tom Paine and tells his life story in Tom Paine's words or in contemporary accounts, but we intersperse it with our contemporary songs. So we put in songs that make the link between now and then, and how in some respects there are still the same issues, and there are other issues that Tom would probably have been excised about had he been alive now.
Yeah, I mean, the Guardian their review mentioned you as sort of part of the English tradition. I think you're sort of reclaiming a lot of English radicalism and are part of that sort of not leaving Englishness to the fascists and so on, but saying we've got a noble radical tradition going back to the Luddites, the Chartists, Tom Paine. When I said that to you earlier, you sounded a bit surprised that you thought of that.
Yeah, because I never really thought of myself as doing that, because I think to go into that, I think nationalism is a complete dead end. I mean, if you want to know about nationalism, just go and look at the cemeteries of Ypres, and there's there's generations of people who got slaughtered throughout Europe on behalf of nationalism. So I'm not actually that interested in nationalism, but I suppose I am also interested in making sure you sing with your own voice. It's a fine balance, isn't it, between being proud of who you are and then not despising someone who's not what you are, you know. So I think it's important that people sing with their own voice, and I think it's also, but I also do think it's important the voices change as well. I don't think that we should pretend that we live in a rural culture that dances around the maypole and sends out whaling ships and fights Napoleon. You know, I actually think, because I think that's one of the problems with a national identity, in that folk music wants to avoid, as far as I can tell, the industrial and the urban experience of this.
And there's that song you do, Spirit of 45, about the sort of generation from the Second World War. And I'm struck by that because of my own parents and their sort of optimism after 1945, and that people look back now and, oh, someone was on the telly the other day saying the 50s was a golden age, everyone looked out for each other and they stand out. But it was a sort of incredible radical phase, and we don't really acknowledge it as such, do we?
We don't, because the other thing is that, I mean, although it's about this impact on England, what also fed into that was my experience of a knowledge of stuff like Eastern Europe. I mean, I've been to East Germany a few times, and I know that this is going to be kind of perhaps controversial, but the Eastern actually existing socialism was a bit of a disappointment, to say the least.
What?
You know, but it represented a huge kind of, just like a welfare state was a bit of a disappointment, but it represented the kind of energy and aspirations of generations of workers. I know it's a bit of a shame that's what they got. But after the war, everybody seemed to want to build a better world in different ways. And I think that that spirit of 45 was really important. And it took the bastards, like, you know, it took them in this country till Thatcher to erode it, didn't they? They actually had to put in a Thatcher coup to finally say, nope, we're not having this. We are having the rich being rich and the rest of you grovelling about in the dirt. And it took them till the end of the 80s before they trashed the actually existing socialism.
Yeah, and they've not really managed the affection with which people hold the National Health Service in, which came out of 45. No one's ever been able to undermine that. It's still rooted in people and very much a manifestation of that 45 government, I think.
Yeah.
OK, let's have a second track from the CD. What's this one, Rob?
Well, you talk about my endless gigging, which I do. I mean, it's what I do because that's who I am. And another thing is why no one pays any more attention to me is I try not to make a big mystery of it. You know, famous artists always go, I've just written a song. Oh, my new album's coming out after 3 years of doing fuck all. I'm doing an album with someone who's famous now. And I just keep on writing songs and doing gigs because it's not a big deal, I don't think. You know, it's hard work, but as Chumbawamba said, it's not like being a stonemason or building a bridge. And I really like it. I enjoy it. It's what I've wanted to do. So this is a song called The End of the Miracle, and it's probably about me, really, an autobiographical thing about how I got to be where I am. I was thinking of how I got to be where I am. But it's also about how much I really love it. This is the end of... I think life is a miracle. You know, everything is a miracle. And I'm getting towards... I'm quite old now. So I'm getting towards the end of my miracle.
If listeners can envisage Rob here with his Zimmer frame
and my
not
bus
a pretty
pass,
sight, comrades.
My bus pass, like the Prince, His Royal Highness. I sat next to him on a bus. No, I didn't. Anyway, but so it's about me having, and I still like it. Life's really, it's great.
Okay.
And I play that chapter.
It was the end of a miracle, good to be alive. In Wild West Germany, 1975, I was working in this factory, packing contraceptives, pulled a Fender telly back with me, funhouse by the Stooges, singing, sha-la-la-la. Grey and white, cheap as cold chips, closed the Hampton every night, and it was hippies everywhere in their dungarees and flares, going place and rock and roll, man. Any gig I got, I keep on waiting for the man, whether they wanted it or not. This acoustic, every gig I got, I'll give them love and death and politics, whether they wanted it or not. Survive, but at the tail end of a miracle, it's still good to be alive.
Johnson guitar solo, a thing not often heard on any radio station. If people want to get hold of the new CD, Rob, how's the best way for them to get hold of it?
Well, you can get it off Amazon or play.com, and it's called, oh, I hate doing this, Love and Death and Politics, Rob Johnson and the Irregulars, IRR 068, a good year, and it's distributed by Proper. But you should be able to get it from anywhere, really.
Okay, brilliant.
Thank you.
If you were to collaborate with anyone, I know you've done lots of work with various people in the past, who would you choose to do a collaboration with?
Iggy Pop.
The phones are ringing now.
Yeah, Ig.
You do, and it seems to me over there's an endless amount of gigging, a sort of relentless gigger and one who turns up for every benefit on offer. And you always retain a relentless sort of optimism, which is really engaging. How do you manage to sort of keep that optimism level up?
Beer. I don't know, because every gig's kind of special. It's what I wanted to do, and it's, yeah, it's what I enjoy doing. I really like doing it. So I remember, you know, like my kind of, from when I discovered folk music, I also discovered blues, and people like Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee. Someone said, you put me in a room with a couple of chairs, they'll play, because it's what they like doing. Mm. That's what I like doing.
Yeah. Do you retain the same optimism about politics and political change being possible? I mean, with the new sort of collapse of capitalism at hand over the collapse of banks the other week, do you think possibilities of change are there at the moment?
I think the possibilities are there for people to change their lives individually. I'm not sure about big things like a big societal change, but I think that it's like a gradual one-by-one disaffection. People, I like music. Music passes on ideas, and then people change their lives accordingly. And I don't know. I used to, you know, you go and do a benefit or you go to a demo and you think that's great, and you come out and there's Oxford Street full of people barring and mooing their way up and down buying crap, and you think that's a long way to go. But it's a one by one thing. One by one, we change each other's lives, I think.
What about the election of Barack Obama in the States?
Yeah.
Do you think that's or do you think we're all going to be sadly disillusioned in 2 years?
We are going to be sadly disillusioned. but the great thing is that the Republicans aren't in power anymore, and there's an expectation of change. Troops out of Iraq, put them in Afghanistan. Oh God. But it's great, you know. There must be a lot of right wing nutters in America who are really pissed off about this.
Yeah, I mean, it seems totally impossible that thing would happen only a short time ago.
Yeah.
What have you got planned musically next? What's the?
I just keep writing songs, and when I've got enough that form a coherent whole for another album, it might be an acoustic album next time, because I seem to have got a backlog of acoustic songs that weren't used up on this album. It's such fun playing with the band. We want to be out and about again next year because it's just such fun.
And you managed to stick most of the stuff out on your own label. How do you manage to get body and soul together with that?
I've got a day job. I teach.
Okay, it's been great talking to you, Rob. Thanks for coming
in.
Nice listening to the two tracks. And that's the end of Anarchism UK for this week. Back same time, same place next week.